This is Pastor Neuendorf preaching on April 28th, 2019 at St. Paul Lutheran Church on John chapter 20.
Good morning. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia. It's good to say that. So our text this morning is from our gospel lesson, especially where Thomas says, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." That's our text. Thomas had dug himself quite a hole there. And it just struck me this week how, and this might seem odd to you, how important holes are in the Easter story and in our life, our culture. I never thought of it this way before. But think about the number of holes that we talk about. My favorite, of course, from literature, although there's lots of stories about this topic, but my favorite is the one that starts, "There, in a hole in the ground, there lived a hobbit." And it begins a long book that continues with a long trilogy, and it starts at a hole. It goes through any number of holes and caves and tunnels all the way through this book. They figure really largely, and it ends up back at the same hole where it started. And this hole that is long, lengthy books and even lengthier movies, this hole is not important because of its length or its depth or the size of the vastness of the caves or something, but just because of a person, a small person, who lived there. Think about holes. Think about how important they were to you when you were a kid. You loved to dig holes, right? If you were allowed to have a shovel and to mess up your parents' landscaping, you could actually dig a real hole. But most of your parents didn't want you to do that, and so they put up a special place for you to dig. Right? A sandbox, where it's easy for you to dig holes, and you buried things, or you looked for buried things. You especially wanted to find pirate treasure or something like that. We love holes. The Cullinan, does anybody recognize that name? The Cullinan diamond, which came from called that because it came from the Cullinan hole, the Cullinan mine in South Africa, which is there because there was a stone in it. And when people found this large diamond, they all wanted to go and dig more rocks out of this hole. The Kimberley diamond mine, maybe that strikes a chord of memory more than Cullinan, a famous diamond. And when there were no more diamonds in the hole, then they left it. 2005, they abandoned digging in the Kimberley diamond mine because there was nothing there. Now it was a dry hole. Skookum Jim. Remember who Skookum Jim was? Skookum Jim found gold on the Klondike. And 100,000 men, the government of Canada insisted that if you wanted to go up to mine to find gold in the Klondike, you had to take with you a year's worth of food, a ton of food. And so these guys would have to convey a ton of food with them through the remote wilderness. Many died, but 100,000 men went up there to dig holes, hoping to find gold in them. Jed Clampett. He went out shooting at some food. And he put a hole in the ground, and up from the ground came a bubbling crude. And what happened when people found oil in a hole? They went around drilling holes. And if they hit a dry hole, that is nothing there, they just covered it over and moved on. But if they hit a strike, they named those holes. Those wells got names because they were important. They made people rich. We have a lot of holes that are very important to us. In fact, Not far from here. All around us, we set aside places with holes that are so important, we fence them around, we landscape them beautifully, we fill them with the area with statuary and other decorations, we decorate these holes, we even build little buildings over some of them, and we go out there and place flowers. A couple of weeks from now, on Memorial Day, we will go and place flags at many of these holes. In some places, there is an armed guard posted in honor of this hole. Because we have put something in the hole that's important to us. Think of that. We have this fixation that there will be valuable things put into a hole or discovered, buried in a hole in the earth. Thomas had that mindset stuck in him. Thomas was convinced he was still looking for his treasure in a hole. You know how it is. You get this fixation, you put your keys there in the kitchen on that countertop. And you went back, and they're not there. And so you're looking for them, but you keep coming back and looking in that same place. You move things around, you move the cookie jar, you move the papers that was there, you throw away the newspaper. I know it was there. And you look elsewhere, but you keep coming back to look in the place that you know it's not, because it's not there. It's gone. And your spouse says, they're over here. I don't understand why they're over here. They should be right there. I put them... And we're stuck in our heads with, it's got to be there. I don't understand why it's not there. I put it there. Thomas is saying, we put his body in the hole. You're telling me he's raised from the dead, but I don't see him. The hole is empty. He thinks Jesus should be, his treasure should be, anything that's really important apparently should be in a hole. Unless I see. Unless I see the way that I want to see, I will not believe. That is so like us. Think about this. If Jesus is to rise from the dead, then what should Thomas expect to see? What is the first thing Thomas should expect to see if Jesus is no longer dead? The first thing Thomas ought to expect to see is an empty hole, an empty grave. And interestingly, the one thing that everyone agrees was there is an empty hole. The disciples testify to that. The women testify to that. The whole early church testifies to that. Thomas himself could testify to that. The Jesus' enemies, the religious leaders testify to that the grave was empty. The soldiers that had been put on guard there, they testify that, yes, the body is gone. The Romans, and in their history, they say, yes, the Christians are obsessed with this, that this grave was empty. Everybody agrees the grave was empty. But Thomas keeps going to the hole. What's the second thing? If Jesus rises from the dead, what's the second thing that Thomas should at least have expected this? Surely he would see this. If Jesus rose from the dead and people saw him, they would no longer be down and out and defeated and discouraged. They would be excited and obsessed. They would be filled with joy about this. And that's exactly what we see. Thomas sees it in his friends, the disciples. But it's not just Thomas that sees it. Jesus' enemies also testify to it. In fact, they're rather irritated by it. These disciples, they say, won't shut up. These people that we thought we had defeated and driven off, they won't stop talking about this Jesus as if he's alive. If they stole his body, would they act like that? the whole world recognize that Christians somehow act as if they have seen a miracle. That Jesus is not dead any longer. What's the third thing? That if Jesus actually rose from the dead, what could Thomas expect to see? You know, from some of the things that Jesus said, Thomas should expect maybe to see nothing, because Jesus said a few days earlier, I am going to the Father, and you will see me no more. And so maybe Thomas would have thought, well, if Jesus rose from the dead, then he would ascend to heaven, and we won't see him. Or he could have thought, because Jesus said in Matthew 26, he had a little earlier, he said, after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. But what does Thomas do? Thomas is still looking in Jerusalem. Do you do this with the kids in the Easter egg hunt, and you're telling them, you're getting colder, but they're like, oh, it's got to be one over here, and they keep searching where you know they've searched before, and there's no egg there. You're trying to tell them, no, it's over here. Jesus said, I'll go before you into Galilee, and Thomas is not in Galilee. He insists, I have to see Jesus here in Jerusalem. And he has no right to expect that. No reason to expect that Jesus will appear to him in Jerusalem when Jesus says, I'll meet you in Galilee. But Thomas says, I want God to appear to me in a way that I am prepared for. You ever do that? I mean, don't you wish that Jesus would appear to you in the flesh like he did to Thomas? And what an amazing, special thing that he sees Jesus' wounds. He gets to touch Jesus' wounds in his hands and his side. I've wished for that. But that was not even what Jesus intended to give to Thomas. Thomas insisted, and Jesus made an exception for him. All right, then. I'll appear here in Jerusalem. But the great treasure that Thomas found was not what we remark on, that Jesus appeared to him and he got to touch him. The treasure that Jesus gave to Thomas was the treasure that he gave to all the disciples the week before when he appeared to them. And he said, peace be with you. You have been upset, you have been afraid, you've been all in turmoil. Peace be with you. You are now at peace with God the Father. You are now, because of my sacrifice on the cross, one with your Heavenly Father. Everything is okay. And he said, as I was sent by my Father, so I'm sending you to take this peace out into the world. Thomas insisted, I have to see, but he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't hear. We do this. As fixated as we are with these treasures in the ground, we keep digging ourselves holes. We want to find happiness and comfort and satisfaction and meaning in life, and so we try this over here and we try that over there, and it's a dry hole, it doesn't work. These relationships, we go from one to another, friendships that don't satisfy or fulfill us. We try, if I made more money, if I had another degree, if I had a corner office, if I had this car, whatever will help me to feel, to discover meaning. And we keep going back to the same old holes. But your treasure will never be found in a hole in the ground. Our treasure is not in a grave. The treasure that Jesus brought Thomas was his peace. Peace with God and peace with him forever and ever in heaven. So a few days earlier, he had said, peace be with you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. What should we expect to see if Jesus is risen from the dead? What should our experience be? Number one, of course, is an empty hole. And still today, you can go there, and it's still empty, and it's still there. Everybody sees that. Number one is an empty hole. Number two is filled disciples. If Jesus has risen from the dead, then those people who know him would not be filled with despair. Their lives would not be empty. They would be filled with joy and excitement and confidence in their own resurrection and carrying the peace of God out into the world. And the whole history of our world for the last 2,000 years has been the history of God's people inexplicably against every opposition, carrying the news of Jesus Christ all over the world. Our brothers and sisters in Christ in Sri Lanka last week, their churches were bombed, and every Christian in the city, every Christian on the island was afraid and was grieving, and yet they are there worshiping this week and praising God even after all these hundreds of funerals, because they have the confidence of Jesus' resurrection for them and their resurrection to eternal life. If Jesus has risen from the dead, his filled disciples will go out into the world, and because Jesus, as he has been sent, he has sent us to tell the whole world that Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell me the peace.